presentation or a discussion of the Catch Share Task Force. But right now we're on the ACL and AM white paper that Chris Kellogg will present. I believe it was handed out today, the presentation.
Okay. Some background. There's a, under tab six is is the actual paper, the background paper, done by principally by me with some input from other staff members. And that's item six under tab one. And a copy of the presentation, although this is very slightly modified, is under is item eight under tab one. A couple things to keep in mind. I'll ask if there are questions that come up about any details, and I would ask staff members that are working on those plans to answer any questions I can't answer. But the main purpose is to probably to get a broad overview of what we're doing. There's one detail in how we're going to do the scallop, set the scallop ACT that's probably not accurately reflected in the paper because the committee, there were some changes that came up since the material I used to draft the paper. But with that, let me get started because it's been a long day already. As John mentioned, the council was concerned about the different approaches and possible confusion and what might be the best approach for structuring ACLs and AMs, so requested the staff, or John suggested that the staff do a white paper on the subject. So you'll notice there's not a lot of colored slides in this presentation. Two topics that to maybe try to help you get an idea of what's going on is one is to give you a brief overview of how other councils are dealing with ACLs and AMs and then how we're dealing with them in our different plans. And then out of that fall, logically, maybe some of the questions that you want to answer or issues you want to address, should we structure them consistently, or in light of this discussion, should we be handling them differently? Two basic approaches that I think everybody's familiar with is setting up the ACL so that it's less than or equal to the ABC and the ABC less than or equal to the OFL, and only having those three elements in a plan. The other approach that we've considered and some other councils are considering are where the OFL is greater than the ABC, but the ABC equals the ACL, and then an ACT is used as a target level. Basically, and this information is based on, this summary is based on information reported at the Council Coordinating Committee meeting that was held in May, and that provided a good opportunity to find out what other councils were doing. That said, sometimes it wasn't very clear exactly how they were handling these things. But there were at least five, most councils or the majority were using, that reported that they had adopted a policy, were using this approach where they have an OFL, an ABC, and an ACL, and no ACT. And that included us and a couple of our plans, the Caribbean, the North Pacific, the South Atlantic, and the Gulf of Mexico. Of the councils that were going to use the structure where the ABC equaled the ACL and also employed an ACT, councils that reported considering or anticipated using this were us, the South Atlantic, and the Gulf of Mexico. You'll notice that all those three councils were also using the simpler approach. Still to be determined were the Mid-Atlantic, and Erling mentioned that it sounded like you were going to decide that in July, or at least maybe
July
14th. They may be going in a specific direction. It may be apparent to people who are involved in Mid-Atlantic Council activities. I haven't heard yet whether these structures are entirely up in the air or whether they're leaning heavily one way. The Western Pacific and Pacific Council were just non-committal on which way they were going. I'm surprised that the Pacific Council isn't using the simpler approach. It wasn't really clear to me which way they were going. Anyway, in terms of ACLs, a few other aspects of ACLs and ABCs and ACTs across all the councils were, almost all the councils anticipated implementing ACLs for wreck fisheries. The Mid-Atlantic said it wasn't sure until it makes more progress on its omnibus ACL AM amendment. In terms of AMs and fishery closures, I just picked this issue out because it was an issue that was discussed, and I think it's an issue that people were curious about. All other councils anticipated that they would or might use closures when the ACL is reached to prevent the ABC from being exceeded in at least some of their fisheries. Again, we didn't get a good read on whether they're doing this for all their fisheries or they're just doing it for one or two, because it was simply not time in the meeting for everybody to get into the details of what they were doing. Note also that this is only possible where reporting and monitoring is sufficient, and there are many fisheries in which this is not the case. For example, the Western Pacific said it was going to do this, but we know from other reports that they've made, particularly at the National SSC meeting, that they have a difficulty in catch monitoring, particularly for artisanal fisheries. And also the Caribbean Council has a tremendous problem in monitoring catch. So although they said this, I'm not sure that how they would do this. In terms of our so with that, then I'll turn to our fisheries and try and just sum up what we've been doing. I think most of you know this, so I'm sorry for going over old ground. The first model where we have OFL equal than or greater to ABC and equal than or greater to ACL, we're drafted our documents for herring and groundfish to use this structure. Now, one important thing is that operationally, it's really OFL is greater than ABC is greater than ACL, the way the plan measures work. However, the plan, and this creates a lot of, can create some confusion because the plans state that they're using this model, but in effect we're using a greater than sign, not greater than or equal to. And that can have some implications for actually how the plan, you know, how much conservation you have in it, or what mechanisms you have to prevent exceeding either the ABC or OFL. The other model, where ABC equals ACL, and we use an ACT. We've done it for skates. We're in the process of submitting that, and that's what we anticipate using for monkfish and sea scallops as of this time. And operationally, we actually have the OFL greater than anticipate OFL greater than the ABC ACL, and the ABC ACL greater than the ACT. Still to be determined are red crab, smallmouth multi-species, and believe it or not, Atlantic salmon. We will submit something for Atlantic salmon to meet the requirement. I don't think it's anything we have to pay attention to right now. We'll have time to do that before the deadlines. One thing is for Atlantic salmon, it's although it's overfished, there's no overfishing, so we can submit that by 2011 and be fine. A few other aspects of our plan for not the way we've been handled non-target species is incidental catches of species are included in the overall ACLs for the FMP managing the fishery. For example, the groundfish plan has a specific ACL for species with significant catches in other fisheries such as yellowtail, flounder, and the scallop fishery. Types of AMs that are currently in the different drafts of the plans. We have paybacks of ACL overages for all FMPs. Now, some of those paybacks are not reductions in the ACL the next year. They can be reductions in the ACT or a readjustment of the ACT. We have ACTs are a type of AM, so they're in skates, scallops, and monkfish. And there are other types of proactive AMs technically under the guidelines. Effort controls are a proactive AM, and we're using those in groundfish. In herring, we have a triggered closure of the directed fishery. It would operate just like an ACT, but we do it at the ACL level. Then there are recreational AMs. They're probably not characteristically different from commercial AMs, but we've just noted them a little differently here. In terms of recreational ACLs and AMs, so far it's groundfish only. And ACLs are only for species where the rec catch is greater than equal to 5% of the total catch, and for species in which the total ACLs are fully harvested. So in Amendment 16, we anticipate that for the two cod stocks and for the two haddock stocks. There are a number of options for AMs, possible adjustments to seasons, minimum sizes, bag limits, with different implementation options. Some of the measures associated with exceeding ACTs we have in our plans. Under scallops, we have area closures, days at sea paybacks, and for the general category IFQ fishery, IFQ paybacks, anticipated options. Skates, we have possession limit reduced to incidental catch limit, and the ACT would be adjusted through council action in future years if we exceed the ACT. Monkfish, there are provisions for possession limit reductions and then an automatic adjustment to the ACT. That's basically all I've included in background on the plans. So I don't know if there are any questions about that, but maybe it should just move forward. We've included a section where there's just a couple general comments, and then there's a section with some considerations, conclusions or recommendations. Comments, I think these are important to keep in mind. For plans where the ABC equals the ACL and you use an ACT, you need a good conservation buffer because, given the scientific uncertainty, if you go over the ACL, you're also going over the ABC. So that may result in overfishing, depending on the uncertainty that's set around the OFL. Another interesting issue, though, is the degree of uncertainty you use around the OFL. The SSC is actually looking for some council guidance in that in that level of uncertainty, even though they've preliminarily set some buffers. So it's not really clear exactly who sets that level of uncertainty in some ways. Second, probably the most important consideration in terms of making sure your plans work is to adjust the buffers to the types of measures and monitoring capabilities that would be in the plan or that you have. So that if you for example, if there's a lot of uncertainty about your measures, then you need larger buffers. So the comment is really, it's not so important what you call these things, but you have to make sure you have the right buffers, and you also have to have the right monitoring capabilities. Obviously, if you have a TAC, you have to be able to monitor it, and if you have an in-season TAC, you need more monitoring. Some conclusions and recommendations, and these are just possible recommendations after looking at this. The council may want to consider a consistent approach to setting ACLs to avoid confusion. That was a genesis for taking a look at this. In the discussions that I've had with different people, it is confusing when the council is using different approaches. Now, we started using different approaches. Largely, some of it might have been out of circumstance. We delayed publication of the final rule. We had already started ground fish and skates. There was a lot of uncertainty around how skates should be, about the science of skates. And the staff wasn't necessarily that aware of some of the benefits of using the ACT approach when we started out. The other thing to keep in mind is whatever approach you can, if you use a simplified approach, that doesn't prevent you from using an ACT as well. You can have OFL greater than ABC, greater than ACL, and greater than ACT. It means specifying a different level or a target. So you can still use a target if you decide to go with, the approach under number one. Two, OFL, having OFL greater than ABC, greater than ACL may provide greater assurance that ABC would not be exceeded. And that's because AMs would be triggered at catch levels less than the ABC, where you have ABC equals ACL, it depends on what measures are triggered at what level, whether they're triggered at that level or they're triggered at the AM level. But this might provide a buffer. A lot depends on whether you have good proactive AMs or reactive AMs. And I think it's pretty clear good proactive AMs will keep you out of trouble and allow you to avoid reacting and having to pay back overages and change plans in ways that perhaps aren't anticipated. Finally, the council may want to consider including an option in each amendment that would require that if ABC is exceeded in an FMP using input controls, then in the very next year, a hard TAC would be implemented. So it's basically, this is an idea that if the input controls are not working adequately, then there's a fallback and a hard TAC would be implemented. I'm not sure that you can... This is something that takes a while to build into a plan, though, because the impacts would have to be analyzed. So it's not something when we put that recommendation out there, if you drop it into some of our existing plans, we may have to look at the timeline. So I just want to say that may not be something that that can be done without some work. And that's all the conclusions and recommendations.
Any comments? Dave Gatlin.
Yes, Chris. Actually, I had a question because it looks like whiting might be one of the next things we're taking up, and I had always thought that we would do limited access first and then do ACLs and AMs, and it looks like it's going to come out just the opposite. And so my question is, I could see how you could set annual catch limits, but I don't know how you can have accountability measures in an open access fishery where you could set... You could set up the fishery based on the historic participants and make it function so it never needs accountability measures, I believe. But as long as the fishery's open access, if a bunch of people flood into it, you know, in that year after you create the plan, I just don't see how you can account for that. So that's my first question.
Yeah, I don't think I would disagree with you, David. Obviously, if you go forward with something like that, you're assuming that the fishery's going to be stable in order to stay under the targets. Otherwise, you're going to have reactive measures.
So you'd have to craft something we don't have to debate it here tonight. I'm just really concerned. I mean, from what I heard earlier today, it looks like the Whiting Amendment now is going to be ACLs and AMs first, and then we're going to worry about the limited access portion of it second. And I think you got to go the other way. You know, I don't think myself. But my second question was, you said the SSC was interested in a discussion on the buffers. And I actually had the same question I was going to ask Dr. Cadron tomorrow. Because the buffers, at least on the surface of it, to me, seem somewhat arbitrary. You know, the numbers have been picked, and I don't see any justification for why a particular number is picked. Let's say it's 25%. Why not 30? Why not 20? And because I thought that in the latest GARM, as an example, that all the uncertainties in the scientific end had already been accounted for, you know, that they tried to account for retrospective patterns. They tried to account for a whole bunch of unknowns. So it may not be a fair question for you. I know Steve's here, so I'm sure he's listening. But I would like to have some discussion about these buffers.
Yeah, I think that question's better done at the SSC when the SSC reports tomorrow.
Mary Beth?
Thank you. And just to follow up on that, the situation that David described for Whiting is exactly what we did in Herring. And I think quite clearly you can see the negative outcome there. But the scientific uncertainty, in follow-up to Dave's comments, it seems like we're double-counting it all over the place. I mean, if you're actually accounting for it in the assessment, the law requires the SSC to set it ABC, taking it into account. And then if you look at your comment one, Chris, it looks like you're, again, you know, given scientific uncertainty, exceeding ABC ACL may result in overfishing. Well, the overfishing limit is the starting point. You account for your scientific uncertainty, or the SSC will, when they set ABC. And then certainly, if the council sets something lower than that for an ACL or ACT, whichever means that, you know, they choose, that's for management uncertainty. Scientific uncertainty should be dealt with at that point.
I think you have to be careful not to double count, but you do have you do have some management uncertainty there. The question is to what's your fail safe or your fallback? So that once you've gone past your ACT, do you have another mechanism to then keep from going above the ACL? I mean the ABC. What you get out of an assessment is an analysis is a point estimate of what your OFL is, but you will have an uncertainty around that. And if you go above your ABC, you really don't know, because there is uncertainty about the OFL, that when you exceed an ABC, you could be overfishing, the way overfishing is, however you define it. You just don't know. You basically have a point estimate of 50%, or let's say the most likely estimate, whether it's a 50% probability for that point estimate, or you have a different type of probability, but you know you should have a point estimate on overfishing, and then you've basically got a cloud of uncertainty around that point estimate. And when you're in that cloud, you've got a certain probability that you're overfishing. So ABC is not as cut and dried that you're not overfishing once you exceed it. I would. This is probably a discussion we shouldn't have now, but that's. And I think maybe, and Steve mentioned that in his last presentation to the council, that you have to understand the ABC in a little bit different context.
Anyone else on the council? Well, the reason I asked staff to put this paper together was at the last council meeting, the interaction, I think Dr. Pierce had with staff. I can't recall what the plan was. It might have been skates. He said, "No, wait a minute. What's with this ACT stuff? Why do some plans have an ACT and other plans don't?" So I asked staff to put together a paper looking at how we're doing things plan by plan, and also within the document, we've also included some information that we got out of the council chair's meeting. I could tell you one of the things that concerns me is this issue of putting ABC equal to ACL in plans. I don't think that's necessarily a good idea. I understand that in some plans we have, I think what Skates and Monkfish are data poor plans, and the preference has been to set an ACT. But leave the ABC and the equal to the ACL. And, of course, the accountability measures aren't triggered till you hit the ACL. And the management suite's designed to target the ACT, but providing a buffer between the ACT and the ACL. But I just philosophically a little uncomfortable with an ABC equal to an ACL, because I just think that's kind of cutting it close myself, but entertain any other comments from the council? Questions? None? Okay. So at this point, we continue on plan by plan as we have, making the decision whether or not to set ABC equal to ACL and include or use an ACT, leave that up as a ad hoc plan-by-plan decision rather than have a policy at the council as to one way to do it. Remember, the point of this plan or this white paper and presentation was to address whether or not or to clear up what at the time was a source of confusion. And if council members are starting to get comfortable with different ways of doing it, plan by plan, that's fine. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, you correctly indicated that I was the one who asked for an accounting to be presented. How do we do it for each plan, just so we can make a comparison as to how we differ between the different plans in our approach. So this is very helpful. But I still have to now go to the individual plans to try to capture the logic for the approach. You know, why was one approach adopted for skates versus groundfish? That's not provided here, but that's okay. This gives me a starting point for the thought about this, especially as we, you know, get to the other species for which we're going to have to set up these relationships, you know, whiting being one example.
Dave Gaither.
Actually, John, I mean, you say the ACL is set equal to the ABC, but because you've taken out management uncertainty at 25% right off the top, it really isn't. It's actually set at 75% of the ABC in skates.
I'm not speaking specifically about skates. I'm speaking specifically about setting ABC and ACL together, and you jogged another comment I wanted to make, which is, I feel very strongly that we should take every step to make sure that we segregate the scientific uncertainty from the management uncertainty and keep those as discrete buffers in each plan. I think by doing that, we enable ourselves looking backwards to determine where things may have gone wrong, if they do, and then take appropriate corrective steps, whether it's an improvement in our management suite, if the correction needs to be made there, or whether or not we need, if it's determined that the problem or the issue is in the buffer on the scientific side, well, that sends a signal too. And we can put more attention or focus more attention into figuring out why there was a failure on that side of the equation. Dave.
Well, I guess if I might follow up, yes, I agree if we could actually do that. I mean, in other words, to me, scientific uncertainty comes back and says we have a new stock assessment. The numbers weren't what we thought they were. They've changed for whatever reason. Could be a retrospective pattern, could be new catch information comes to light. I don't know. I can think of a lot of different reasons. I can't think of them this time of night real well. But to me, in a way, scientific and management uncertainty are almost one and the same thing because they come part and parcel together. I think it's going to be hard to tease them out. I mean, you could say, well, all right, the management uncertainty is we can't count the fish. But because we can't count the fish, that leads to scientific uncertainty as well. So to me, I see that management uncertainty, that 25% that's been removed, is really a combination of the two. That it's both scientific and management uncertainty rolled into one because a lot of times the reason there's scientific uncertainty is because there's management uncertainty. And it usually revolves around either counting fish, either counting landings, which we've shown we're having trouble with, or counting discards, which we've always had trouble with, or any number of reasons. And they all lead to, you know, those could be argued could be management uncertainties, but they all lead to scientific uncertainty. So I see that number as just being one number that wraps in kind of all the uncertainty. We can label it however we want to.
Anything further on the council? Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, as we continue the development of the monkfish FMP and throughout the development of the skate FMP, I mean, there is a pile of questions from industry and public about what all the relationship between all the different acronyms and the concept of removing the ACT and just simplifying it, to me, is very attractive, especially if we can differentiate between the management and the scientific uncertainties on the other side of the ABC. I can't wrap my head around a motion right this minute, but I think we need to, particularly as the rest of these FMPs are rolling along, I think we need more discussion, and I don't know when the appropriate time might be.
Chris Kellogg.
Yeah, just a response to Dave's question. There's some more detail provided in the background paper and under tab one, Dave. But some of the rationale for why a plan chose a different approach isn't explicitly in there. But I'd be glad to fill you in on that. As a matter of fact, when you look at the way the ACT for the three plans where we're doing ACTs, we're setting them. Using a different method for setting them in each plan. The other comment is that with herring, you'll notice we have a small buffer, and that gets a relatively small buffer, and that's because we've had some experiences with herring management. We've had some experiences in projecting the catch. We are projecting landings, and we feel we have a pretty good handle on it, but you know, everybody knows herring monitoring is still an issue. So we're able to set something at about 95% or 92% when we take into account the RSA of where we want to be. We're now calling it by different names, but there was an option in the herring plan that had exactly the same system with exactly the same types of reactions, but now we've just simply labeled them differently. But so the key is to make sure you have the right buffers and the right reactions according to the amount of buffering you're using.
Any further from the council? Okay. Thank you, Chris. Okay, we'll turn it over to the last agenda. Turn it over to the last agenda.